Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you would, open up your bulletin for our sermon notes that you'll find up in the middle. Today is primarily about focusing on confirmation and about remembering our baptism. But I wanted to take a few moments, obviously, to try and put it into context, to try and think about what it is that we're doing and why do we do it? Why did God come down and say, be baptized? Go into all the world and baptize. What is happening here that we need to recapture constantly? So much so that I didn't get one. It's down in the office. How many of you got one of the tags? All right? Hold up your tag. All right? This is the point. This is what this is for. This is the idea. We're trying to be a little creative, and I hope that you can hold with us. The idea here is take this, hang it in your shower so that when you get up in the morning, as you enter the water of your shower, you will remember that you are a baptized person, you are part of a different kingdom, and you have a purpose for your life, right? The idea here is don't allow your baptism to be that event that happens once a year. Well, we remember it, and then we try and get through it. We know that we got to do this. Remember it every day. You're not just somebody going through the motions of life, just kind of waiting or doing your time until the Grim Reaper shows up. You have a purpose. You've signed on. You've been commissioned. You've been called. And that's the point that we're trying to make today. So if you will, and by the way, we ask the ushers to give one per family, right? Because I'm hoping that you use the same shower. If you don't do that and you really feel that you need another one, we'll get them to you. And I don't know if we have any extra, but if you have a friend or you have somebody in your family that you would say, I want them to be as blessed as I am, pick one up. We've got some extra, I hope. I want to tell you a story, or I want to hit you with a story that really is, you know, sometimes we read through it, and it becomes so simple that we don't really capture the power of what has happened in this story. It's the story of the jailer. It's the story of the jailer. And I want you to do that by joining with me, by centering our lives. It's found in Acts chapter 16. If you can go to the next slide, please. Thank you. Would you join with me as we share what is on the screen? This is God's word for my life. In this place and at this time, today I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Listen to this story from Acts chapter 16 and how baptism so transformed this man's life. Now, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all of the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Now, the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights. He rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This is the word of God for the people of God. let us pray. Dear God, we experience so much through this story, and we ask that you make our hearts tender, available, and awake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So often we look at this jailer and we go right through it. And we say, well, of course, he saw what Paul and Silas were doing. There was an earthquake, and all of a sudden, he believed, and he jumped out. But there's so much to this story. This is an amazing conversion story, and I think that we have to understand a little bit about what is going on in his life and ask, how is it with our soul in this story? Look at what is happening. What is going on with this jailer? First of all, he's got a very good job. He's a government official. He's pretty secure. His job is to control other people. One might even say, as a jailer, he's a control freak. He knows where everything is. Everything's supposed to be in its place. Everything has its order and its pattern until his world comes crashing down. And how does that happen? Well, the first thing that happens is he comes in contact, or he encounters an uncontrollable power. Most of our lives are spent trying to control our surroundings, trying to create a sense of security, a sense of habit, a sense of rhythm to our lives. But every so often, we have to encounter a power that is beyond ourselves. Now, for this man, it was an earthquake, something that it says shook the very foundation of the jail. Now, for him, it was the very foundation of everything that he'd set up, his life, his job, his security, all of that was shaken to its core. It was something that he couldn't deny and something he could no longer control. He realized he was not at the top of the pyramid. Most of us spend our lives trying to climb the ladder, only to find at some point that we were on the wrong ladder. He's a climber until he recognizes a power greater than themselves. Sometimes we encounter that too, and we hear that every Sunday morning. People that are struggling with life and death issues. Somebody that comes and says, I just found out the cancer is recurring. Somebody that comes and says, one of my loved ones just out of the blue died. We are not as in control as we would like to believe. The second thing that happens to him that is really rather shocking is he is overwhelmed with fear, with anxiety. There is a sense of judgment. And oftentimes when we come in face to that uncontrollable power, what happens when people encounter God in the Old Testament? They fall face down. Who am I before a holy God? What happens when people come out and they say, I've got a bad medical report. What does my life mean now? Everything that I put, I've got a huge 401k, but what does it mean now? As a matter of fact, it had gotten so despair. He had so despaired about what his life meant. What was he going to do? Commit suicide. Instead of facing the tragic situation, instead of saying, well, I'll just have to explain what happened, he couldn't deal with the life that he had, the failures, the circumstances. It would be better if he killed himself. When we have nowhere else to turn, when we face that power, when we feel so small and insignificant, and we feel that we haven't really lived the best that we could, where do you turn? All that is left is suicide. And that's where the good news comes in. He encounters or is faced with an uncontrollable power. He deals with an overwhelming fear. But then what happens to his whole world? Because what happens? The prison bars have opened. The jail is open. What's going to happen to all the prisoners? Well, of course, they're going to leave. But they don't. And Paul and Silas call out, don't do anything. We're here for you. We're here. We're not going to run out on you. We're not going to be like everybody else. We're not going to skip town, look out for what's in it for us. They're still in the jail. And in that moment of feeling that sense of unexpected grace that they were offered, it changed his whole world. And I want to ask you in your own journey of faith, have you ever, ever been with somebody that encountered an uncontrollable power, dealt with death or life or the future? Have you ever been with somebody that was just overwhelmed with fear and grief about a relationship or a circumstance that was beyond their control? I wish I'd have done that differently. Have you ever been with somebody who said, where did that come from? I didn't mean to say that. That overwhelming sense of, I wish I hadn't done that. And then encounter somebody that said, it's okay. I forgive. Let's go on. In that moment, it transformed his life. And it can transform yours as well. I believe as baptized children of God, we are called into that relationship. And as we talk to the confirmands today about what they are beginning, I want them to know something about what this jailer was asking. He comes to Paul and Silas and he says, what must I do to be saved? The first thing I want you to know about baptism is a confession. It is a realization we need. I need something. I don't have it all together. I can't make it on my own. There are uncontrollable forces that are aligned against me, and I need help. I need the help of a church. I need the help of a community, and I need the help of a sovereign God. I need something. And he comes to Paul and Silas and says, I don't know what you have. I want that. My jailer job is hosed. I need your world. I need your life. What must I do to be saved? The first thing that you have to come to do is do you need that? I need saved. It is a confession. The second thing that happens is baptism is all about change. All about change. As a jailer, what's his job? Control these prisoners. Keep them in line. You are at the top of the pyramid. They are at the bottom of the pyramid. You're the jailer. They're the prisoner. In this moment, it changes him. And what does he become? It says all of a sudden, he starts washing their wounds. It almost harkens back to what? Jesus washing our feet, right? He becomes the jailer, the power, and he takes on the role of the servant. He's changing. I am the host. And what does it say at the very end? He welcomes them into his home and he begins to feed them. His whole life has been changed around. He no longer is the jailer, he's the host. When you become a baptized part of a church, a community, you don't rise to the top. You choose to go to the bottom. What does it say on this passage in Matthew 22? The Lord, the great, when they say, what are the great, what's the great commandments of the Old Testament? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love who? Love God. And do what? Love others as yourself. Where does that put you? Third. You're third. When you become part of a community, when you stand up and say, Lord, count me in, I'm third. How many of you have been watching the NCAA basketball? Yeah, once Duke lost, it really wasn't that interesting, was it? Why? Because what do we always say? We're number one. When you become part of the kingdom, your greatest strength, your greatest power, your greatest sense of identity is saying, I'm number three. I'm third. God first, others second, me last. What Jesus is trying to tell us is when you begin to reorder your priorities, it all makes sense. Life begins to make sense. It's not about rising in the corporate ladder. It's about how much you can give into other people's lives. First of all, baptism is about a confession. I need help. It's about change. I want to become not just the jailer, not the controller of people, but the liberator, the host, the giver, in order that we can become a challenge. Baptism is a challenge. I will become. I'm becoming. I'm in the process of growing. Where I am now is only a moment in time for where I'm going. I'm on a journey with Christ. We, as part of our baptism, say we will so order our lives after the example of Christ. And so we live by commitment and by integrity. We're struggling, yeah, we screw up. And so we offer forgiveness. We offer grace. We are in the process of growing. And the Bible says we are in the process of maturing. We're becoming whole persons. Through missions and through service, through study, we are becoming mature people. I love the way this passage ends. In Acts, it says, he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. And that joy was carrying him forward. He had moved. Think about how far he had come. He was ready to commit suicide. His life was over. It had no meaning because the jail was open and he was certain everyone was going to run for themselves because he lived in a I'm number one world. Until he embraces Paul and Silas and they said, don't fear, we're here with you. Don't harm yourself. And he said, I was filled with joy because I believed in God. I saw it lived out in real people. The question and the challenge that lies before you today, as members of this congregation, as you come, as we remember our baptism, is to do those three things. Make a confession. God has done for me what I couldn't do for myself. And so I'm becoming something I couldn't do on my own. And I'm offering that hope to others. Do those three things, and the world will change before you. Let us pray. Father God, we come this morning to celebrate what you're doing in our lives and to offer ourselves in Jesus' name, amen. At this point, we're gonna continue with our time of confirmation. I just invite Tammy to come and share our confirmation story.